May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever felt such emotion that you wanted to share with someone, but you simply couldn't find the words? Strong feelings that could not be described. Many of you have had the experience of seeing a newborn shortly after birth. This little creation, so beautiful, so innocent, we're left speechless. My first reaction is to want to touch the baby. Is this for real? To cuddle and hold this little miracle. Just spend time looking at God's gift, watching the little mouth move and the little body stretch and yawn. It feels as if we could not take it in if we sat there forever. Eventually, this little miracle starts to whimper and fuss. It's not quite content with our quiet observations. Perhaps the baby's hungry. Perhaps in need of a diaper change. And perhaps now is a good time for mom or dad to step in and take over. Perhaps you've spent time planning a trip to what is known as a lovely destination. Do you remember your first reaction at seeing it? Dave and I had the joy of taking my father, who was in his late 80s at the time, on a trip to see one of our favorite parts of the country, the Southwest. Dad had never had the opportunity to take such a trip, and one of our stops was the Grand Canyon. How many of you have been to the Grand Canyon? Many of you have, and the rest of you are in for a real treat. The walkway was sort of icy in spots, and I was worried that one of us might slip. But with caution, we were able to make it to the rim. Just knowing what Dad's silence meant as he gazed at this spectacular sight brought tears to my eyes, and it still does when I think about it. That God could and would create such an awesome, gigantic formation leaves many of us speechless. As part of a trip to Hawaii, we had the privilege of joining others by taking a boat to see the Pearl Harbor Memorial. It was practically a silent trip out to the site of the sunken ship. As we got out of the transport boat and onto the memorial, people filed out silently. Seeing the oil continuing to bubble up from the ship, the Arizona, after all these years, now it is over 71 years ago, that was enough to leave most people speechless. The final resting place of 1,177 sailors and Marines who died there. The oil still bubbling up from the ship seemed to make it so real. It was very sobering with the thought of the lives lost there and those years of uncertainty and grief as the world was in chaos. Chaos and worry of the war and the loss of life. The silence of all was what I remember most from those few hours. Words could not describe that emotional experience, and it was a deeply spiritual time. One year, Dave and I took a trip to Big Bend National Park near the Mexican border in Texas. Much of the time, we felt that we were the only ones in this park. There were barren mountains. The sky was absolutely clear, and it was warm. I clearly remember pulling over to the side of the road and getting out of the car silently. There was no sound. No sound of wind, not even a cricket. I think we might have heard our own hearts beating if we had listened. I remember saying to Dave, if we can't feel God's presence here, where can we feel God? Now, others do not find that barren land as beautiful as I do. I really can't explain it, except we're all created differently. Perhaps you have a favorite place where you feel close to God. The times I've mentioned have all been quiet times when I've felt especially close to God. Perhaps that has a lot to do with my personality. But I do wonder when I look around and observe young people with all the technology that seems to be attached to you at all times. I wonder if young people have discovered the joy of peace and quiet that defies words. No? One of my favorite verses in the entire Bible is Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Certainly not all those times when we were at a loss for words are at times of joy. I've mentioned Pearl Harbor. That was a time of sobering reflection. Some of our worst times have been times when all we could do was groan and cry out. As in verse 26 of our text, the Holy Spirit helps us in our distress, for we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how we should pray. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groans that cannot be expressed in words. Perhaps it was the death of a loved one. We feel lost, desperate, fearful. I've certainly had that desperate feeling at times. Have you? Perhaps we're concerned about a loved one or a friend, someone who seems to be on the wrong track. Our words to that person seem to fall on deaf ears, and we turn to God. Perhaps more with an emotional outburst than with real words. We really don't even know what to pray for. Only God knows the answer. I believe that God understands those feelings and groans that we express. The important thing is that we have turned to God. Perhaps sometimes later, my disappointment and anger at the situation prompts me to pray for that person. If I respond to this inner urging to pray for that person, perhaps I will notice a difference in my own attitude. Perhaps I will have a more loving, understanding attitude. Perhaps my patience will be restored. Perhaps that intense anger has subsided. Maybe, just maybe, I'm given new empathy for what might have caused that person's behavior. I'm given a completely different picture of the needs within him or her. And then I ask for a way to communicate acceptance and forgiveness. Those inner groanings have turned into clarity. Perhaps I need a bit of courage. courage to face this situation one more time. I ask for God's help to accomplish His will in the matter. The inner disquiet, like an inaudible, wordless groaning, turned into clarity and was articulated in a request for strength to do what the Lord had promised He would do through me if I am willing. Our situation may not be immediately resolved, never to erupt again, but progress has been made, and we need to keep God's guidance in the picture. God may be working out His plan with the assistance of another person, but in the meantime, our love is being shown more effectively to our friend or family member, and change is made easier in our relationship. In prayer, we can admit our need, submit our problems, relinquish our control, and commit our future to God. Perhaps we are in error, and through prayer we are able to see the error in our judgment. We are then able to admit to ourselves and the other person that error. We then have to change our attitude and our behavior. Perhaps I'm confirmed in my position or action and hear the Lord whisper, "Stay the course. You are on the right path." In either case, resiliency happens when I give up my control and surrender to the Lord's control. Those of you who have gotten to know me probably have figured out that music touches my soul. It's one thing to strike the correct notes on the piano, but it's quite another to feel the music. What do we feel when we hear good music? Do you feel peace, energy, relaxation, awareness of God's presence? As a young child, my two sisters and I were given piano lessons. The piano was given to us, and it was a sacrifice for my parents to pay for those music lessons. I did not like to practice, and I would have quit. I'd have quit in a moment if my mom had allowed it. But I had a mom who insisted that all three of us practice every single day. Mom did not read music. She could not play an instrument, nor could she sing. But she wanted her three girls to have what she did not have. So every day before school, Catherine practiced from 6 to 6:30 a.m. I practiced from 6:30 to 7 a.m., and Pat practiced from 7 to 7:30. We then rushed off and caught the bus to school. This went on for most of my childhood. But you know, we all three continue to play the piano to this day, and we all use that gift to share in the worship setting. And we have fun when we get together. We bring our instruments. We've all picked up a few other instruments. We have fun playing that music together. So I'm thankful I had a mom who insisted that I practice. One need not have been educated in music to feel God's spirit through the joy of music. Dave, my husband of over 50 years, does not read music, nor has he ever played a musical instrument, nor sung in a choir, but he knows far more about composers of great symphonic music than I will ever know. And he has a huge CD collection of the great works. While we enjoy going to the symphony together, our taste in music is a bit different. I am more of a person who enjoys doing it. Often, I can't even tell you the title of what I'm playing, much less the composer, but a part of me is expressed in sharing of that skill that I learned as a child. We are both touched by music, but in very different ways. I believe that just as we are all created to be unique individuals, God works through many mediums to touch our souls. It could be art, nature, emotions, reading, perhaps contact with other people. God calls us to prayer in unique ways, especially at those times when we are at a loss for words. As becoming a musician requires much practice, so does our relationship with God need to be nurtured. We need to pray, even when we don't feel like it. One of my favorite authors, Dr. Lloyd Ogilvie, wrote, "Intimate prayer is the mightiest force in the world. If God knows, why pray?" So often, God waits to help us solve problems until we pray. He wants to use the need to draw us close to Him. We do not pray to change the mind of God, but to receive it. Prayer is to get us into the position of willingness to receive what God wants. We suffer from impatience. We can run ahead of God, or we can run with God. Giving Him control of life and the timing of answers to our prayers. Our peace of mind, health, and relationships are at stake. We all have days that are dark and bleak, and the future seems dismal. Those feelings are somewhat like the clouds which hide the sunshine. If you've ever taken a plane trip on a cloudy, rainy day, you will notice that when you soar through those clouds, you suddenly find that the sun is still shining up there brightly. So too with life. We can be fogged in by bad feelings, but Christ has not changed. His love and power are just as available as when things were sunny and bright. But right now, all we can feel is grief. Have you had the experience of feeling great distress, perhaps crying and feeling totally out of control, and all you could do was pace back and forth, with no place to go? You feel relief when a friend arrives, but that relief might be short-lived when our friend tries to tell us how much better we will feel in the future. They yak on and on, and we're just not ready to hear all that. Timing is crucial at that point. Shared tears and just being present show that I care, that God cares. Silence is a gift from God. Be still and know that I am God. Reflections on the future must be postponed, and there will come a time for that. In most conversations, it is not the future, but the present that demands our most careful listening, our empathy, our entering into another's grief. Through the groaning, pain, weakness, and sighs, too deep for words. To be truly helpful as God's instruments, do not pass over the present. Rather, we pass through the grief with our friends. We feel their grief as they face hardship, distress, those concerns of the present moment. We will fly above the clouds once again in due time. The sad feelings may still be there, but the strong winds of the Spirit will begin to blow again, and the horizon will begin to clear. We can have confidence in our future only because that future is in God's hand, not in ours. Let us pray. Our God, at times we feel such distress that we find it difficult to be still and know that you are God. It is hard for us to relax and put our trust in you. Yet we know that you are the answer to our fears and anxieties. Give us strength and calm in those difficult times, that we may be open to your Holy Spirit in our lives, that we may once again feel your peace, and we can be still and know that you are God. Amen. As the servers and